Your palms sweat before the big presentation. Your mind races at 2 a.m. with tomorrow's to-do list. That knot in your stomach won't untie. For decades, we've been told these sensations are problems to eliminate. Pop a pill, practice deep breathing, make them disappear. But what if everything we've learned about anxiety is backwards? What if that racing heart and buzzing mind aren't malfunctions, but features, evolutionary gifts waiting to be unwrapped? Neuroscience reveals a startling truth. The same biological response that paralyzes one person can catapult another to extraordinary achievement. The difference isn't in eliminating anxiety, but in fundamentally transforming your relationship with it. When you sense danger, whether a growling dog or a critical email, your body launches into action before you can think. Your amygdala, a walnut-sized alarm system deep in your brain, instantly activates your hypothalamus, flooding your bloodstream with adrenaline and cortisol. Heart rate spikes, breathing quickens, blood rushes to your muscles. This happens in milliseconds, an ancient survival mechanism that kept our ancestors alive when threats were simple, predator or no predator, fight or flee. Here's where modern life gets tricky. Our ancestors could reset once the danger passed. The lion either caught them or didn't. We can't. That snarky comment from your boss, the overdue bill, the relationship tension, these threats never fully resolve. Our nervous systems stay locked in red alert, unable to distinguish between a physical threat and a social one. We're running evolutionary software designed for the savanna on the hardware of a complex, always-on modern world. About 28% of Americans experience clinical anxiety disorders, but everyone lives somewhere on the anxiety spectrum. When anxiety controls us, cortisol dominates while dopamine and serotonin plummet. We can't focus, we procrastinate, and sleep becomes elusive. But when we harness that same physiological arousal, everything shifts. We assess situations clearly, organize around what we can control, and maintain healthy routines. The initial spark is identical. What changes is whether we're the fire or the firefighter. Two decades of research reveals something extraordinary. Your brain never stops changing. This neuroplasticity means your brain physically reshapes itself based on your experiences, thoughts, and environment. Enriching experiences grow your brain, while deprivation shrinks critical regions like the hippocampus and prefrontal cortex. Your brain gives negative experiences more weight than positive ones, a negativity bias that helped ancestors survive, but now keeps us ruminating over one critical comment while ignoring 10 compliments. Negative information sticks like Velcro, while positive experiences slide off like Teflon. Emotions aren't fixed labels. They're fluid signals telling us what matters. Anxiety often blends negative and positive feelings, butterflies before a first date, jitters before performing. The key is emotion regulation, influencing which emotions you experience, when, and how you express them. You have 5 tools: avoiding situations, modifying them, redirecting attention, reframing your mindset, or managing anxiety once it appears. The most powerful? Sitting with discomfort instead of escaping. When you stay present with anxiety, you discover you can survive the feeling and create space to choose your response. We all develop coping strategies, automatic responses that once helped but may now sabotage us. Ralph, stuck in traffic after a brutal workday, explodes when cut off, swerving, screaming, honking. His rage isn't about that driver. It's a conditioned neural pathway eliminating any pause between stimulus and reaction. Healthy coping includes naming feelings, seeking support, exercising, and flexible thinking. Unhealthy coping shows up as substance abuse, avoidance, controlling behavior, and isolation. Liza self-medicates with wine and compulsive exercise. Jared withdrew to his parents' home, deepening his anxiety. Both run the same failing program. Resilience isn't bouncing back unchanged. It's adapting and growing through adversity. Your brain supports this through neuroplasticity, strengthened by flexible thinking, seeking help, finding pleasure, embracing challenges, and practicing relaxation. Your stress response operates in two phases: rapid sympathetic fight or flight, then slower cortisol release alongside anxiety-regulating neurotransmitters like neuropeptide Y and galanin. Early adversity fundamentally rewires these systems. Childhood trauma increases risk for psychological disorders, heart disease, diabetes, and depression by creating toxic stress that disrupts brain development. The crucial distinction is between active and passive coping. Active coping means intentionally working to control stressors, building resilience through stress inoculation. Passive coping leads to avoidance and learned helplessness. Key resilience enhancers include optimistic outlook, cognitive flexibility, social support, humor, physical exercise, altruism, and mindfulness. Neurobiological shields, not nice-to-haves. When a younger brother died suddenly at 51, morning tea meditations created mental space where memories crystallized, deepening life appreciation. As Ecclesiastes says, "With great pain comes great wisdom." You don't build resilience from success. You build it from surviving what you thought would break you. Anxiety either sabotages or supercharges performance. The difference is how you channel it. The Yerkes-Dodson law shows performance rises with arousal to an optimal point, then crashes when anxiety overwhelms. As arousal increases, focus sharpens, and your brain's reward network activates. Improvement triggers dopamine, creating pleasure you crave to repeat. But when stakes climb too high, overthinking disrupts automatic functioning. The baseball player fixates on wrist angle instead of swinging naturally. Even subtle stereotypes trigger choking. Women score worse on math tests when reminded of gender beforehand. Negative emotions hamper thinking, while positive ones enhance it, explaining why enjoyment fuels flow. Consider Tom, a brilliant student who excelled at writing but collapsed presenting to scientists. After a public meltdown, he practiced extensively with challenging questions, reframed public speaking as sharing his passion, and absorbed positive feedback. He successfully delivered his next talk, managing nerves and channeling productive anxiety. While elite flow seems unattainable, everyone can access microflow, shorter but frequent states enriching daily life. Deep relaxation after yoga, refreshing sleep after a hard week. These microflows blend intention, engagement, and fun, triggering dopamine that motivates future behavior. At 40, two decades of achievement had severed connections to what once brought joy: Broadway, French culture, romance. Transformation started small, adjusting diet, discovering intense daddy exercise, learning meditation. The real shift was internal, a fundamental mindset change. Carol Dweck identifies two mindsets: fixed, abilities are predetermined, and growth, abilities develop through effort. An activist mindset goes further, purposefully asserting control over anxiety, reframing it from problem to lesson. Crisis required acknowledging how bad things felt. Complex workout classes and erupted worry cycles, eventually, anxiety became a valuable message, pointing to what was missing: social interaction, friendship, love. This sparked reframing, from "I can't enjoy vacations alone" to "I have the luxury to go wherever my heart desires," launching adventures from kayaking in Greece to rafting in Peru. The breakthrough came from examining limiting beliefs. Lifelong money scarcity fears were challenged when founding a technology startup. Instead of letting anxiety stop progress, beliefs actively reshaped, from "money is scarce" to "money is plentiful," from "I'm in it alone" to "I have a huge support network." Anxiety became a warning system, triggered when approaching the boundaries of limiting beliefs. Jared transformed from stuck-at-home graduate to finding purpose teaching English and building housing in Costa Rica through increased activity and meaningful work. We've forgotten that anxiety is information. That racing heart before the presentation tells you this matters. The stomach knot about the relationship signals misalignment with your values. The 2 a.m. worry spiral points to what needs attention. The question isn't how to silence these signals, but how to decode them. Your anxiety is a compass, not a cage, revealing the edges of your comfort zone, the boundaries of your limiting beliefs, the gap between who you are and who you're becoming. This isn't about positive thinking or pretending anxiety feels good. It's about recognizing that your brain's plasticity means you're never stuck. Every anxious moment is an opportunity to lay down new neural pathways, to practice active coping, to build resilience. Your anxiety isn't the problem, your relationship with it is. And relationships can always change,